Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now Ed, let's hang out in the energy sector for this interview because, quite frankly, it is the sector that continues to move higher and it directly impacts consumers, businesses, and some of the key inflation data that continues to be the focus for central banks around the world, including the Fed. Today, oil came close to the 120 level, as we outlined in an earlier interview with Joel Conan, that this really is, or at least I consider it, a breakout when you take out that spike high in early March. Fact of the matter is, oil has been moving higher even before the war in Ukraine started. We chatted with you last year, and you were saying that you saw oil moving into the triple digits. This is when it was in the $70 range. That move continued to happen. We saw a little bit of weakness in the oil price at the tail end of last year in 2021. But after that weakness, boy, oh boy, oil has skyrocketed. Also helped out by all the sanctions and this war in Ukraine. Ed, what's your take on the oil market here? Are we finally going to see a top sometime soon, or is this price just going to keep on running?
Well, right now, I think you're seeing that the oil market, you know, continues to push higher because right now everything is very tight, and you're seeing the latest, you know, major development, the EU's partial ban on Russian oil, is really providing another leg higher here for oil prices, and I think that we're going to continue to go higher until we see some crude demand destruction, and we're getting there. I think that, you know, when you take a look at globally, the rest of the world is really starting to feel the pinch here. For instance, in the Eurozone, you know, you saw their CPI hit a fresh record high, and you're probably going to, I think, see that a good part of Wall Street right now is really focused about Eurozone growth. They feel that, you know, these higher energy costs are really going to start to cripple economic activity. And I think here in the U.S., you know, you're definitely feeling a lot more sensitivity to, you know, the price at the pump. After a short weekend getaway, I was stunned to see, how much, you know, we're paying at the pump. It seems that, you know, we're going to go above $5 here in the metropolitan area here. And I think there's expectations that you're really going to see, you know, this market is really going to continue to go higher because there's just too many short-term risks to supplies. Even this morning, you know, Libya had a pipeline leak. You have a very fragile market. You're removing Russian crude at a time where we definitely have shortfalls. Inventories are low. You've had the U.S. tapping the Strategic Petroleum Reserve for quite some time now. So I think right now the concern is, it looks like, you know, 120 was tentatively respected, but we could still, you know, continue to push on higher, and I think you're only going to see this move higher in oil start to run out of steam once you really have those recession calls grow, and that will eventually happen. But right now it seems that with no end in sight in the war in Ukraine, you take a look at U.S. production, it has not ramped up despite, you know, the steady climb in rig counts. And you're probably going to see that, these big oil companies, you know, for the most part, and one of the reasons why I was so bullish at the very beginning of the year was because you had such a lack of investment in new wells. This market was going to remain tight regardless of all the geopolitical events that happened this year. And there is still, you know, this big push, the ESG movement, you're not going to have overcommitments and spending in new projects for oil wells. So I think we're probably going to continue to see that. I think oil prices, you know, while the outlook is still somewhat bullish here, and I think until we really, you know, become pessimistic with growth concerns and across Europe and the U.S., I think you're probably going to continue to see prices head on higher.
Yeah, great points, Ed. And I think the ESG point in particular, that there's been, you know, people could argue a decade of underinvestment in oil and gas stocks. And when you look at how so many funds, whether they're pension funds, insurance companies, large institutions, have shied away and shunned investing in growth in the oil and gas sector, as well as the financial institutions that are funding their debt were encouraged to get oil and gas companies off the books. And look at how small of a factor it really is in the indexes now compared to where it was maybe 10, 20 years ago. So some of this shouldn't be a surprise for people. But the question is, you brought up, will this feed into the recession fears or slowdowns in growth fears? How do you think these higher prices are going to affect the business sector? Let's say their Q2 numbers, because with numbers staying in the triple digits, but it doesn't look like any end in sight of them coming back to a more reasonable level. How will this impact the business community and how will this affect Q2 earnings?
I think these higher energy prices, along with, I think the big surprise too was the struggling of COVID in China. That really was adding on to the supply chain worries, which is, you know, fueling, you know, the inflation fear that, you know, ultimately inflation is expected to drag this economy down into a recession. And I think you're probably going to see that, you know, we're getting some relief from China. There is a little bit of progress with opening up and, you know, some easing of their COVID restrictions. But you're probably going to see that the overall expectation that growth is going to get slashed. And I think the theme over these next, you know, several trading weeks is that there's going to be a lot more downgrading of growth forecasts. And I think those calls for recessions, you know, a month ago, I think the majority of Wall Street said recession unlikely for next year, for 2023. That is changing to getting pushed into next year. And I think that the health of the consumer is, I think, a big focal point right now. And, you know, right now, you're starting to see, you know, consumer confidence is diverging here. And I think that expectations are that it's going to weaken. And I think that there is still hope that inflation will improve dramatically in the third quarter, but it's not going to improve this quarter. And that's going to really disrupt a lot of, you know, earnings outlooks. And I think that, you know, for a lot of investors, you know, we saw, you know, year to date, you know, NASDAQ is down 22%, S&P, you know, 12.5%. And I think that it's going to be a very choppy session because we're still trying to get a sense of the path of the Fed. And right now, I think that it seems like we're all in wait and see mode. And I think that you're going to see that manufacturers are all being hit by, you know, the surge in energy prices. And I think that you're not going to see those calls for inflation relief, I think, until much later in the year.
So, Ed, it sounds like, again, the path of least resistance for energy, oil in particular, continues to be higher. Is there anything that changes this narrative that you can see on the horizon, either out of governments, out of really anywhere, to lessen this move higher and the squeeze it puts on consumers and businesses for the oil price?
Well, I think the one thing that is standing out, you are seeing a tremendous shift here as far as the energy analysts go. And everyone is now completely focused on, you know, slashing their product demand forecasts. And I think that the potential recession risk is real right now. And I think you're going to quickly see that reflected in the energy complex. And I think the key trade, I think, for oil right now is, you know, embrace the volatility. Because while we are significantly higher, if demand destruction becomes real, then I think anyone was expecting, you know, you could really see a major reversal here. And I think, you know, I think when you take a look at the refining numbers, if we're really getting more people to price in global recession, then you're going to see that will really dictate the move lower for oil. But I think right now, short term, you're still riding high, but I think we're getting close to that point where demand destruction seems like it could be coming true soon. So I think the key trade for oil is, you know, embrace that volatility, because I think, you know, we've shot up pretty strong, you know, since just the last 3 weeks. So, you know, we're, you know, sub 100 and now we're, you know, 117. But I think that right now you're still looking at a move higher, but you have to be careful, because if much more of the energy space becomes bearish with their year-end call for crude, you could start to see a wicked reversal here.
Well, Ed, one more topic that we should probably expand on, and that is the health of the consumer. You've been pretty solid on the consumer being stronger than many people have expected. We see a lot of data showing that they're going through their savings, they're increasing their credit. But overall, the consumers have stayed fairly strong. But how much longer can that last if not just the oil and gas prices, but everything? You know, the natural gas price is up fivefold, over fivefold where it was just 2 years ago. There's a point where consumers are going to have to decide, do they want to take that vacation this summer? Do they want to fill the boat up and ride around the lake? Do they want to fly to see people, or do they want to keep things in a Zoom format for their business meeting? So how will this affect the consumer spending money on vacations, traveling, cruises, airlines? How will that affect that kind of reopening trade?
Yeah. And I think what's going to really complicate the issue is that you have so much pent up demand. Even my wife was telling me, like, wow, we should go to the movie theater, which would be for the first time in a few years, to see Top Gun Maverick. And you could see that, you know, that movie had, you know, record numbers, and there is an amazing amount of interest for new adventures, for traveling, whether it's going to the theater, going to the beach, going abroad. People are going to pay. People are going to, you know, run up that credit card, I think, for that first vacation early in the summer. You know, whether or not you have follow through, you know, come late July and August for, you know, another quick getaway, that's going to be a big question mark. I think that you're right in assessing that the labor market is still strong, but wages are not keeping up with inflation. And the household balance sheets, they're still okay, but, you know, there's I think we're kind of reaching that inflection point here where you are going to start to see weaker spending. And so it's going to be hard to say whether, you know, is it going to be that, you know, after the month of June, that's when it's really going to be more noticeable. But right now, you know, confidence measures are diverging. And that's what you got from the Consumer Confidence Report today, the Confidence Boards. So spending is going to be the key. And I think that will really dictate a lot of people's calls on the recession. So things are weakening. Things are weakening, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist when you go to the supermarket and you know, buy milk or eggs. You can see how high, how much more expensive everything has become. And I think there's this realization that there's no relief coming anytime soon, and that's why you have the Biden administration getting together with the, you know, the Fed and the Treasury to try to make sure that beating inflation is their primary focus right now. And it might be, like Herbert Hoover said, too little too late, but I think you're going to see that this economy is moderating, and I think the good gauge to keep your eye on is, you know, some of that discretionary spending, and, you know, look at some of those high-end labels and see, you know, are they still having good results, you know, after these next couple months. And I think everyone is kind of, it's not a surprise, Dollar General did very well, which means a lot of people are going to some of the more inexpensive stores. So this is a very difficult economy to track, because you have just it seems like you can make four different buckets of types of how the consumer is doing. Not well at all, just making ends meet, and then okay, and then, you know, you have your people that are still unfazed by these pricing increases. So, but yeah, I think right now confidence is definitely heading low.
Fair enough. And I think people's spending power also heading lower, even though they continue to spend. It's an interesting nuance and something to follow closely. But to your point about the four different buckets, it sure seems like there are a lot more people in those first two and three buckets that are being pretty drastically impacted by the higher prices that they're seeing in everyday life. So it's a tough scenario right now. And then on top of that, we're also seeing markets broadly move lower. So there seems to be no relief, I guess, except if you're in oil and some oil stocks. Ed, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. Great chatting with you. We'll chat again next week. I hope you had a great Memorial Day long weekend, and thanks for taking time with us on this Tuesday.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.